हरे वासुदेवाय,
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय,
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय,
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय,
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय,
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवतीर्नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 5 टेक्स्ट नंबर 18। So, chapter 5 of Canto 5 is the famous chapter called as Lord Rishabhadev's teachings. And today our specific focus will be on text number 18. It's a very, very famous verse in ISKCON. Very, very often quoted verse. In fact, this whole chapter has got many, many key memory verses which are very, very often quoted by so many spiritual leaders and other devotees in ISKCON. So today's verse is as follows.
Guru na sasyat swajano na sasyat.
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 Pita na sasyat janani na sasyat. पिता न सस्याद् जननी न सास्याद्। दैवं न तत्स्यान्न पतिश्च सस्यान्। दैवं न तत्स्यान्न पतिश्च सस्यान्। नमो च येद्य समुपेत मृत्युम्। नमो च येद्यः समुपेत मृत्युम्। गुरुर्न सस्यात् स्वजनो न सस्यात्। पिता न सस्यात् जननी न सास्यात्। दैवं न तत्स्यान्न पतिश्च सस्यान्। नमो च येद्यः समुपेत मृत्युम्। नमो च येद्यः समुपेत मृत्युम्। गुरुर्न सस्यात् स्वजनो न सस्यात्। पिता न सस्यात् जननी न सास्यात्। दैवं न तत्स्यान्न पतिश्च सस्यान्। नमो च येद्यः समुपेत मृत्युम्।
गुरु, अ स्पिरिचुअल मास्टर, न नॉट सर, ही स्यात् शुड बिकम स्वजनः रिलेटिव, न नॉट सह सच अ पर्सन, स्यात् शुड बिकम पिता अ फादर, न नॉट सह ही स्यात् शुड बिकम जननी अ मदर, न नॉट सा शी स्यात् should become daivam, the worshipable deity, na not tat that syat should become, na not pati a husband, cha also sah, he, syat, should become, na, not, mochayet, can deliver, yaha, who, samupeta mrityum, one who is on the path of repeated birth and death. Translation. One who cannot deliver his dependents from the path of repeated birth and death. I repeat. One who cannot deliver his dependents from the path of repeated birth and death should never become a spiritual master, a father, a husband, a mother, or a worshipable demigod. One who cannot deliver his dependents from the path of repeated birth and death should never become a spiritual master, a father, a husband, a mother, or a worshipable demigod. Purport by Srila Prabhupada ki jai. There are many spiritual masters, but Rishabhadev advises that one should not become a spiritual master if he is unable to save his disciple from the path of birth and death. Unless one is a pure devotee of Krishna, he cannot save himself from the path of repeated birth and death. Tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mam iti so Arjuna. One can stop birth and death only by returning home back to Godhead. However, who can go back to Godhead unless he understands the Supreme Lord in truth? Janma karma che me divyam evam yo veti tatvatah. We may have instances in history illustrating Rishabhadev's instructions. Shukracharya was rejected by Bali Maharaj due to his inability to save Bali Maharaj from the path of repeated birth and death. Shukracharya was not a pure devotee. He was more or less inclined to fruitive activity, and he objected when Bali Maharaj promised to give everything to Lord Vishnu. Actually, one is supposed to give everything to Lord Vishnu because everything belongs to the Lord. Consequently, the Supreme Lord advises in Bhagavad Gita 9.27, Yat karoshi yat ashnashi, yat johoshi dadashiya, yat tapasyasi kaunteya, tat kurushva mad arpanam. O son of Kunti, all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, as well as all austerities that you may perform, should be done as an offering unto me. This is bhakti. Unless one is devoted, he cannot give everything to the Supreme Lord. Unless one can do so, he cannot become a spiritual master, husband, father, or mother. Similarly, the wives of the brahmanas who were performing sacrifices gave up their relatives just to satisfy Krishna. This is an example of a wife rejecting a husband who cannot deliver her from the impending dangers of birth and death. Similarly, Prahlad Maharaj rejected his father and Bharat Maharaj rejected his mother, Janina Sasya. The word Daivam indicates a demigod or one who accepts worship from a dependent. Ordinarily, the spiritual master, husband, father, mother, or superior relative accepts worship from an inferior relative, but here Rishabhadev forbids this. First, the father, spiritual master, or husband must be able to release the dependent from repeated birth and death. If he cannot do this, he plunges himself into the ocean of reproachment for his unlawful activities. Everyone should be very responsible and take charge of his dependents, just as a spiritual master takes charge of his disciple or a father takes charge of his son. All these responsibilities cannot be discharged honestly unless one can save the dependent from repeated birth and death. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Nilitam Yena Tasmay Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Giri Yatkripa Tamaham Vande శ్రీ గురు దినతారణం వాచాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధూభ్యైవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. జై శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార్ శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. గురుర్ న సస్యాత్ స్వజనో న సస్యాత్ పితా న సస్యాత్ జననీ న సాస్యాత్ దైవం న తత్స్యాన్ న పతిశ్చ సస్యాన్ న మోచయేద్యః సముపేత మృత్యుం. వన్ హూ కెనాట్ డెలివర్ హిస్ డిపెండెన్స్ ఫ్రమ్ ద పాత్ ఆఫ్ రిపీటెడ్ బర్త్ అండ్ డెత్ షుడ్ నెవర్ బికమ్ అ స్పిరిచువల్ మాస్టర్ అ ఫాదర్ అ హస్బెండ్ అ మదర్ ఆర్ అ వర్షిపబుల్ డెమి గాడ్. So, a very powerful instruction makes you almost feel guilty. So many times, many grihasthas often meditate on this particular verse. it's a good verse to feel a little bit humble. Especially when sometimes pride kicks in. So, this is a very beautiful chapter. The fifth chapter is of the fifth canto, Lord Rishabhdev's teachings, where Lord Rishabhdev is giving invaluable instructions to his sons. It's interesting because Lord Rishabhdev is playing three roles here. First role is that he is playing the role of Supreme Personality of Godhead, which he is. So, as the head of the demigods. Supreme Personality of Godhead is the head of all the demigods. So, he is playing that. Then he is playing the role of a spiritual master. And then finally he is playing the role of a father to his sons. And today's verse is one should not become a demigod, a spiritual master or a father. So he is playing all these three roles. And in these three roles, from that particular reference point, he is giving instructions, invaluable instructions to his sons. So there are several such precious instructions right from the beginning of this chapter. In verse 1, he talks about the human form of life, the purpose of the human form of life. Nayam deho deha bhajam niloke kashtan kaman arhate vidbhujam ye tapo divyam putrakayena sattvam shuddye yasmat brahma saukhyam dvanantam. So Lord Rishabhdev says that the purpose of human form of life is not to attain the cheap sense gratification of this material world, not to pursue that, rather to develop a higher taste, tapo divyam brahma saukhyam. He says that should be the goal of human life. That tapo divyam, that transcendental happiness is awaiting us. But rejecting that transcendental happiness, janya shunya vishakam, we are taking the poisonous fumes of the material existence. Then, so he talks about prayojana tattva. What should be the goal? Tapo divyam brahma saukhyam. That should be our goal or attainment. Then in the next verse immediately he talks about the avideya or the process how to attain that. He says, Mahat sevan dwaram ahur vimuktes tamo dwaram yoshitam sangi sangam mahantaste samachitta prashantaha viman yaha suhrita sadhavoye. So, he says that if you want to attain that tapo divyam, uttrakayana sattvam and brahma saukhyam, then the only path is take shelter of the lotus feet of Mahat Sevam Dwara Ahur Vimukte. So when you take shelter of the feet of Paramahamsas, then the road to the door to liberation opens. Do not associate with people Yoshitam Sangi Sangam, with men who are very attached to women. It can be the most dangerous association for anyone. Then he talks about further in the next verse, he talks about the importance of detachment from home and hearth. And it's very contextual. If we have association of devotees who are very attached to the material world, how can we develop detachment under such association? So he talks about the importance of detachment in the next verse. Then in verse 4, he says, we have to avoid sense gratification at any cost. Only fools because of ignorance plunge into sense gratification. Noonam pramatta kudute vikarma na indriyaya yat indriyaya apranoti na sadhu manye yatha atmanoyam ఆశాన్ ఏ ఆపి klesha asa deha. So avoid sense gratification. Due to pramada or owing to madness, do not pursue that which is not good for you. Again in verse 8, he says that the greatest sense gratification and bondage in this world comes from attachment to the opposite sex. Pumsa striya mithuni bhava metam taror mitho hridaya granthim ahur ato griha shetra sutapta vittaya janasya mohoyam ahum mameti. So the concept of I am mine, I am the Lord and everything is meant for my enjoyment. So as long as we are under this false ego, we cannot come out of the clutches of material existence. So Rishabhdev is warning continuously, very, very heavy, powerful instructions he is giving. Come out of I and mine. True ego means I am Krishna's with a apostrophe S, and then Krishna is mine. That is true ego. False ego is I am Krishna without the apostrophe S, and everything is meant for my enjoyment. Then from verse 13 to 18, 10 to 13, Lord Rishabhdev gives the message of Sri Guru Pada Ashraya and says, take shelter of spiritual master in disciplic succession and develop tolerance and humility. Develop tolerance against the dualities of the material world. Sita Ushna Sukha Dukadaha. Tolerate happiness also. As much as you tolerate pain. Tolerating pain is one thing, but people don't understand how to tolerate happiness. The happiness comes, everyone enjoys. So tolerate that also. And then he advises to practice the tenets or the principles of bhakti, all the angas of bhakti. He talks about various angas. Verse 14, he reiterates that one should not even desire for liberation. Only pursue bhakti. Liberation also should not be a goal. Because he has been very heavy on sense gratification. But somebody may say, oh, okay, I will look for liberation. And he says, no, stop. Don't even look for liberation, mukti. Don't chase that. Look for only bhakti. That should be our prayojana tattva. And that should be our abhideya tattva as well. So verse 15 to 17, he says that every father, spiritual leader, guru or king must advise their dependents in bhakti yoga. It's not only that it should stop after I advise you. In the future generations, every spiritual master, every father, every leader must advise their dependents on bhakti yoga. However, they should themselves be very fixed in bhakti yoga, because a blind cannot lead the blind. And in today's verse, he reiterates the point in a different way. If you can't do that, do not take up the role of father, do not take up the role of spiritual master, do not take up the role of husband, do not take up the role of mother, do not take up the role of a worshipable demigod. Otherwise, if you don't know how to deliver yourself from the cycle of birth, disease, old age and death, how are you going to inspire the others? So that is the summum bonum, that's the flow, and that's where we are today. Now let us take up these roles one by one. So the first and foremost, so basically the roles of spiritual master, father, mother, husband and worshipable demigod, these are mentioned specifically in this verse. There are so many other roles also, as a good friend. So as an elderly person who is not a relative, as a wise person. So there are so many other roles, but these roles are specifically mentioned. Why? Because these are the personalities. If we just look back at our own lives, these are the personalities who have generally had a very heavy influence in shaping our perspectives, opinions in our own life. Most human beings, these are the personalities. So, in his purports, in the verse, while Rishabhdev is taking this, Prabhupada also systematically is taking each of these roles in his purports. Starting with the role of spiritual master or a guru. Now, why Prabhupada is first talking about spiritual master in his purports? Because a father or mother may have different roles, but a guru's role, a genuine guru's role, a guru's whole existence is meant only to deliver the fallen souls. A guru does not have any purpose behind his living, behind his existence. He serves only for this purpose. Whereas people in other roles may exist for their own purposes. But guru's role is one and only one, to deliver people from the cycle of birth, disease, old age and death. I was hearing a very beautiful interview where of his holy, his grace, Gaur Gopal Prabhu, all of you know him. Recently he came on a channel and he was interviewed. I don't know how old is it, but I thought it was pretty recent. One boy was interviewing him. This boy is very famous on Facebook for interviewing, you know, big personality, famous personalities. So he was being interviewed, and it is one of the most outstanding interviews that I have seen, I have heard, where he was asked, why do you wear saffron color? And this interview was extra special because it never gave the flavor of religion. It came from every single word that Gaur Gopal Prabhu spoke there, anybody can connect to it. Even, for example, my bosses can connect to it, who have nothing to do, who have never heard the word Krishna. Like that. Anybody can connect to it, right? So he was asked, what is the significance of saffron color? So he said that saffron color stands for fire. Okay. So he says, what is this fire? He says, this fire means that I am taking a vow that I am going to burn all my self-interest in this fire. And therefore, what is left after me? Only the interest of humanity or the interest of other living entities. So that is how, in a very simple manner, he explained that saffron color example. So therefore, this is why sannyasis exist. So they exist for the purpose of para upakar. But how can one do para upakar? First, one has to do one's own janma sarthakate. Then kara para upakar. So first we have to put the oxygen mask on our own face. Then we can put it on the child's face. And it is mentioned that a guru has to be on that level. Who is on that level? So there are two ways of looking at it. One, Srila Rupa Goswami mentioned in Upadeshamrita at the very outset. Vacho vegam, manasakrodha vegam, jiva vegam, udara upashta vegam, etan vegan yo vishaheta diraha, sarvam api mam prithvim cha shishyat. Vacho vegam, whatever we speak, one has to have control over one's speech. Manasakrodha vegam, one has to have control over one's mind. One has to have control over one's anger. Jiva vegam, over one, how much one eats, what one eats, when one eats, how one eats, in what consciousness. Again, Gaur Gopal Prabhu was mentioning this very important point. He says, he was asked, what is one of your biggest learnings? He was asked, I think, three learnings from the Bhagavad Gita. What is the biggest learning from the three Bhagavad Gita which you study? So he was saying that, first one he talked about, Matra Sparshastu Kaunteya Shita Ushna Sutta Dukata, which is very similar to what here also Prabhupada mentioned about. One has to tolerate duality in this material world. In happiness, one should not, you know, in Hindi, we say, Bahut Udne Ka Nahi. We should not fly high in the air, right? When everything is going right in our world, because then comes a talk from Krishna, right? He will put you down one day. So, and then sometimes we think we are advancing very well, chanting is going on first class, okay? And then Krishna reveals suddenly that lots of lust, anger, envy, greed, pride is inside the heart. He keeps on revealing, just as much as we start thinking that, you know, maybe little bit has gone away, he again reveals in some form to you. Hang on, Shanti, thanda bed, cool, cool mate, it's not yet there. So he was saying that, you know, this dualities, he says that we have to rise beyond these dualities. That is one big lesson from the Bhagavad Gita. The second lesson I remember is he's saying that about the mind. One has to make our mind our biggest friend. And that's a big, big one. Third one I don't remember which one he said. What was the third one? Can't remember. But one has to make, third one was to see Krishna everywhere. To see Krishna in everything. He didn't use the word Krishna. He says to see the hand of providence in everything in our life. Like that. Whether one glorifies us, whether one chastises us. And it's like the Avanti Brahman. The Avanti Brahman says, the karma, you know, nothing is the reason for my misery. Because Avanti Brahmana, the people urinated on his food which he was eating. Now, what can be more humiliating, right? They used to steal away his clothes, harass him like anything, throw things at him. So this is worst insult. So he said that no, the demigods are not. I'm not going to blame demigod. I'm not going to blame time. I'm not going to blame anything. Only person to blame is me, because it is my own karma that I. So Gaur Gopal Prabhu was pretty much Sambham Bhola, what he was saying was pretty much towards that Avanti Brahmana realizations. That's what I understood. So one has to do janma sakakari. So guru is one who has all this. Vacho vegam, manasa krodham, jiva vegam, udara upashta vegam. Control over the belly, control over the genitals. Who can tolerate all these urges and tolerate the dualities of this material world? Who has control over the mind and who is able to see the Lord everywhere? So now sometimes you may see that even Prabhupada in the earlier purport says even impersonalists are transcendentalists. So you may find all these qualities are there in impersonalists also. Vacho vega, manasa krodha vega. Even an impersonalist, transcendentalist may have all these qualities. So how is a Vaishnava guru different? So in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's conversation in Madhya Leela 8.128 with Ramananda Raya, Mahaprabhu tells Ramananda Raya this. Says, Kiba vipra kiba nyasi shudra kene hai jaye krishna tattva veta sei guru hai. So it just not vajo vegam manasa krodha vegam. A Vaishnava guru's another big qualification is what? That they should know krishna tattva. One should know sambandha tattva, abhideya tattva and parayojana tattva. Only then such a person can become a spiritual master. And why specifically that conversation is important? Because Ramananda Raya was feeling very humble and he was feeling very unqualified. So Mahaprabhu is telling him, you don't do all these things. You don't have to feel so unqualified because you know Krishna Tattva. So you keep talking to me more about Krishna Tattva. So in that context, Mahaprabhu is mentioning this verse. Now, in India and even globally, of course, India is, India exports the maximum spiritual masters. Okay, both genuine as well as bogus. Like that. So, in India and globally also, we see many people take up the role of gurus. And again, in the same conversation, Gaur Gopal Prabhu was mentioning that there are many outcomes that happen for a person who takes up the role of a spiritual master. He says many of them, most of them, because Kali Yuga is going on, they take up the position, role of spiritual master either for power or prestige, because it's an easy way to start up and then to enter political life after that. Don a saffron and then enter political life, right? So it can, so many people take it like that. Or many people take it for the purpose of maintaining themselves. Because when you get some kind of a clout or influence, then it helps you maintain, money automatically comes like that. So many years back, and I have told this example before also, I had one of my colleagues who I was trying to cultivate remotely. He was in Pune, in my office, Pune office. So he used to always call me up whenever he was in distress. Okay. अरे जगन बहुत प्रॉब्लम हो गया यार लाइफ में आई डोंट जगन लॉट ऑफ प्रॉब्लम इन लाइफ व्हाट टू डू नो वन आफ्टर द अदर ही कीप ऑन टेलिंग मी हिज प्रॉब्लम्स आई एम नाउ आई डोंट नो व्हाट टू डू आई एम फीलिंग वेरी नर्वस लाइक दैट यू टू कीप कॉलिंग एंड देन आई पुट हिम इन टच विद ब्रह्मचारी निगडी फ्रॉम निगडी टेम्पल ओके एंड देन दैट ब्रह्मचारी वॉज कनेक्टेड एंड आफ्टर दैट द कॉल्स केम डाउन ओके सो देन ही हैड नो एसोसिएशन देयर बट वंस ही कॉल्ड मी एंड ही टोल्ड मी समथिंग वेरी पेक्यूलियर ही सेड यू नो Jagan, what happened was, my wife and I were sleeping, man. And then suddenly the fan which was rotating, suddenly all the blades came out and kar, everything went in every corner of the room, like that. And suddenly we woke up and one blade narrow missed me, He said, I don't know what's going on. I'm so nervous. Okay. Then, at that time, I didn't know what to tell him. He was very nervous. I said, so cool down, no problem. See? No, you went and you are at least taking some association, so Krishna has saved you, like that. But these things can happen. Obviously, he said, what should I do? I said, you first check the fan. Then first philosophy and all can come later. First put a quality fan, install it, is installed properly, right? First we have to do our karma properly. Then we cannot get problems for that. So I said, keep checking the fan. And was that all correct, man? So, but what to do? Then I told him that, just keep chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And then consult the Nigri Brahmachari. Let him invite him. Maybe if there is something, then you can come and he can come and do a kirtan. But he didn't listen. He went to another saffron colored man. Okay, just because he was saffron colored, he was not a Vaishnava at all. So he went. So and he called that person whom. Okay, now this person is a very famous guru. So he went for fame. Famous guru. This Nigri temple Brahmachari nobody knew. Okay, he was a simple Brahmachari, a very genuine Vaishnava, but not famous. But people sometimes run after famous. They think the more famous the saffron person, the more impact it will have on the outcomes they can generate in your life, right? So he went to this famous person, not a Vaishnava at all, right? So this person came and he invited him home, and this person came home and he invited all his building members also on top of that. And then what he said was, there is some inauspiciousness I can see in this house. You know, he started like that. Okay. Ghor inauspiciousness is there in this house. Heavy inauspiciousness. And then when he said that and went, this fellow's heart sank. Again he called me next day. Hey, what did he tell? I called him. I said, why did he call him? He said, even many people, even Milind Gunaji is also going to him. Milind Gunaji was a famous Bollywood star at that time. So he said, even such people and all go to him, politicians and all go to him, that's why I called him, So and he mentioned like this. I said, okay, maybe, okay. He mentioned in front of all my building members. Now every building member is saying nobody should buy that house. And Jagan, I was thinking that, after this price of real estate goes up, I will sell this house. But whole building is saying this house is inauspicious. And then they are spreading the message, and all brokers also in the community have come to know about this. Okay. I told you don't go to such person. Why did you do it? Right? So if you go to such person, they will become part of your problem. They will never become part of your solution. Then after that he stopped finally. After that incident, he stopped going, and then he increased the association with the Digni Brahmachari. And I don't know what happened to him now. Hopefully it's all good. Right? But this is what it is. So many people take to this saffron because of power, position and clout, and we don't even know such people from back to back, they may have a nexus with some builder. So after making this announcement, they will tell the builder, now you negotiate a lower price and give me some cut out of that. Don't be surprised if there is a nexus between such saffron colored people and politicians. And I know many people who have that nexus even today. Their whole, even the underworld is part of their so-called satsang. Right? So this is the state. So such people should not take up the saffron robe, otherwise people lose faith. And Gaurakopala Prabhu was asked this question in the interview. Why are people losing faith in the so-called Babajis? And Gaurakopala Prabhu said that there is nothing wrong in Babajis. And he explained it so beautifully. He says, when you play in sport, or when you pursue even your material education, don't you have a teacher? So similarly, spiritual life also, you have a teacher. That's all. The principle is same of having a guru, right? Why it becomes colored is because people try to take advantage of this particular position. They come from vested interests, and that's why people gradually lose faith. Whereas when a person takes this position genuinely with a desire to serve, you will come to know of such a person. And such a person, then you can accept. So, one should not take up a position of spiritual master to maintain power, prestige, position. Otherwise, but many people do that. Now, there are others who start genuinely. Okay, they don't want power, position, etc. Who start genuinely taking up this, but they fall down or they drift away. I was in the Leelamrit, when we were studying Leelamrit during the Purushottam Mass. At that time, one point was, it was very moving to see Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati telling Prabhupada, about the Gaudiya Matha. What was the state of affairs? When Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati gave the famous instruction to Prabhupada, if you ever get money, print books. Look at all these people. They are fighting for, for comforts and facilities within the ashram. Who will get what privileges, who will get which room number. That is what it's become now. And it was very sad to read in the Leelamrit that after the departure of His Holiness Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that many of two or three of his stalwart people who were the most influential in Gaudiya Math, they ran away. One went away with a woman, actually. They went away, some set up their own cults like that. And then again, talking about cult, Gaurakopala Prabhu was asked this question also, what is the difference? What is a cult? So he said the difference between a genuine movement and a specific cult is a movement is never centered around one person. A cult means what? It's all centered around one person. Okay, whatever he says, that is the truth. Whereas we are not a cult, we are a movement. Why? Because our movement is not based on one single person. Yes, Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada is our founder, Acharya. But Prabhupada did not invent his own philosophy. Prabhupada said, if I have any qualification, I have only repeated the message and given it to you as it is. Like that. So this is called as a movement. So therefore it is not a cult. So there are many people who start cults, and then when they collapse, the whole cult also collapses. So one should be very careful not to become a spiritual master, and one, unless one is qualified, unless one has adhikar to be a guru. And then there are the third type of spiritual masters who take and then who stay firm. And we have seen exemplary sannyasis. Our own, many of our own Siksha Gurus, Prabhupada's next generation disciples, who have stayed in the movement for years and years. Not to speak of sannyasi ashram. Whenever I think of His Grace Jananivas Prabhu and Pankajanari Prabhu, easily they could have taken sannyas. But they have not yet taken sannyas. They still call themselves brahmacharis. And the way they conduct themselves is amazing. Amazing. That, you know, all the power, position, influence, they could as well be the, you know, they could as well be the leaders, kings of Mayapur in one sense. Right? But even when they come across, you know, I was hearing an interview of Pankajanari Prabhu and Pankajanari Prabhu and Jananivas Prabhu. The way they speak itself is very unusual. Very, very unusual. So, we have stalwarts like this in ISKCON. So, in fact, this is one of ISKCON's greatest contribution to mankind. So, when I was studying this verse, I was thinking how beautiful our ISKCON is. That here is an institution that grooms and offers genuine spiritual masters to the entire world. That is the biggest contribution. Prabhupada said in the mission of ISKCON, one of the seven purposes, what was? To generate top class brahmanas, Vaishnava brahmanas. And we are actually giving these brahmanas to the entire world, genuine spiritual masters. We are not saying that in ISKCON there has not been any fall down. Yes, there has been fall down. That largely is because of the individual's wrong choices. And it is not very, very often that it happens in ISKCON. Sometimes it happens, very rare. And we have seen that even such people who occasionally have that fall down, they very, with lot of dignity, they take the role from Swami to Prabhus, and then they are continuing in their service of Srila Prabhupada. And we should not forget that even when, before they are fall down, we should not forget the great contributions and sacrifices they have made to the movement, because of which all of us are there today. So we don't, we are also trained never to look down upon such people who have had a temporary fall down. So these are all great learnings for us in ISKCON, and they give wonderful perspectives. And in ISKCON, we have strong governance policies, governance processes and policies solidly based on the principles of Vaishnavism as taught by Srila Prabhupada, which we apply in contemporary context. Srila Prabhupada is a Jagat Guru, is a spiritual master of the whole world. So, there are three questions to be asked for anyone who wants to be a spiritual master. Who am I and what is my relationship to the Lord? If he says you are spirit soul and your relationship is servant of Krishna, one tick, yes, genuine spiritual master. 30%, 33% marks got secured. Right? Second is, what is the goal of life? He says to develop Krishna prem, 66%, 66.66% tick. Right? And finally, when they say, what is the abhideya, what is the process to attain that Krishna? If they say go to the Himalaya, then you know, okay. What do they say? Harinam Sankirtan. Under any circumstance. What is that verse? Hrite Ratna, not the fourth verse of Chatushloki. Etava. Is that last verse? I forgot. Hrite Ratna, Vakrati Etava. Next to next verse. Forgot. Where it says, Yat Sat Sarvatra Sarvada. Under any situation, directly or Anvaya Vati Rekabhyam, Yat Sat Sarvatra Sarvada. Anvaya Vati Rekabhyam. Directly or indirectly. Somehow or the other, search for the absolute truth, Lord Krishna. So never forget Krishna, always remember Krishna. So if a spiritual master, if someone answers these, makes these three ticks, that person is qualified to be a guru. At least from the point of answering. And then we have Acho Vegam, Manasakrodha Vegam. At least they know, Krishna Tattva they know. So there are lot of, so the whole of ISKCON, we have lot of governance policies and procedures soundly based on this Shastric principles. So we have a governing body commission in ISKCON, which ensures that, you know, lot of governance around anyone who is a sannyasi in ISKCON or who wants to be a sannyasi. There are so many levels. So there is GBC at the highest level. then there is ministry. We have a specific ministry for sannyasa. How many spiritual institutions have a ministry for sannyasa? We have. His Holiness Prahalananda Maharaj, I believe he is still the in charge of that particular committee. Ministry of sannyasa. Okay. They are called as the standing committee. There is a standing committee of sannyasa who are responsible for policy formulation and application of those policies based on time, place, circumstance. That is the beauty. So it's not just theoretical, applied theoretically, based on time, place, circumstance. It's mentioned actually in the ISKCON Sannyasa website. Then there is something called as the TASC, the Team for Assessment of Sannyasa Candidates. And His Holiness Vedvyas Priya Maharaj is a part of the TASC. There are so many others, but most of us know him. So just I'm mentioning his name. What is their role, the TASC's role? To assess training and performance of sannyasa candidates, evaluate new applications and make recommendations to the standing committee. Like that. So TASC serves the standing committee in that sense. And then the standing committee reports to the GBC. And then there is a 9-member secretariat team which is at the operating level. They function. They do all the consulting work and the communications around for the sannyasa ministry. That's a secretariat. And then we have around 120 sannyasis. The website told me that there could be more. I would be corrected, okay, if I am off track. 119 sannyasis is what I could precisely. So around 120 sannyasis who are catering to different geographical zones. So what an amazing network we have. It almost operates like a corporate, like that. And that is required because Prabhupada said in Kali Yuga, you will need organization and leadership, okay, for the movement to be successful. So now what was interesting was ISKCON, what has ISKCON adopted as the focal verse for sannyasa? So this is 6.1. It is mentioned in the sannyasa website, ISKCON sannyasa website, that Bhagavad Gita 6.1 is taken as the foundation for definition and purpose of sannyasa. Anashrita karma phalam karmam karma karoti yah sa sannyasi cha yogi sa na nira agnir na chakriyah. One who is unattached to the fruits of his work and who works as he is obliged is in the renounced order of life. And he is the true mystic, not he who lights no fire and performs no work. So in ISKCON we will not find chapati eating sannyasis. Prabhupada mentioned, you know, don't become chapati eating sannyasis. Who said that? Somewhere I heard this. Don't be, just be roti eating sannyasis, that's all. So in ISKCON we will not find that. So candidates in ISKCON are thoroughly screened and assessed. So they just don't become spiritual masters just like that. Several principles are applied. Some of them I'm quoting from the website. Only their only interest and dedication should be to devotional service. They should have no other interest in their life. They should act only for the satisfaction of the Lord. They should have no dependence on others. Prabhupada also mentioned in today's purport. Have no dependence on others. They work without attachment and they have complete its integrity towards ISKCON's vision and mission. Do not deviate from that. Now, owing to all this governance, the chances of something going wrong is reduced to a bare minimum. Because this ashram is a glorious ashram. It leads all other ashrams actually. So if something goes wrong with the head, the whole body is gone. If one brain clot happens in the head, everything stops functioning. Right? Therefore, nothing can go wrong with the head in the institution. So it has to be governed and maintained very carefully. It's a big responsibility. Not only to ISKCON, but to the whole world. It's a big responsibility. So this large organization of ISKCON then works to facilitate the sannyasis in performing their respective roles very effectively. Now, but for such organization and leadership, what will happen? One may take to sannyasa very prematurely and then expose themselves to the risk of fall down. And when you take to sannyasa prematurely, then what happens? It becomes a disturbance to society and others may also be led into the gutter along with this person. So therefore, it becomes very important. So much for the guru part. One should not. Guru na sasya. Then father and mother. One should not become father and mother if one cannot deliver one's dependence. Now what is the big, how can one do that? How can a father and mother take steps? What steps can a father and mother take to reduce the probability or to increase the probability that the child becomes a devotee? First and foremost, they must be fixed in Krishna consciousness themselves. If that is itself dhila dhala, we say, that is, our own sadhana is not very stable, then we cannot become a good example. If our study habits, if our chanting habits, if our services, if our sadhana, seva, sadachar is not good enough, we cannot be an inspiration to the next generation. One of my colleagues, he was once asking me, hey Jagan, how to give this sanskar to the children? How to give, bhakti to the children? They have no idea of Bhagavad Gita. They don't even want to open anything. When I tell them, say some prayers, they are not interested. They are brought up here in Australia. So I told them that, I have given you a book, Bhagavad Gita, some years back. Did you ever open and read it? He said, Jagan, my busy schedule. I don't have time, man, with all these responsibilities I have on my head. I said, don't you think we have responsibilities on our head? Right? I said, if you don't put the oxygen mask on your face, how can you put it, how can you save other people? So children will learn from you. If you smoke, children will smoke. Right? If you drink, children will drink. And if you study Bhagavad Gita, children may study Bhagavad Gita. Bad habits, they will definitely pick up from you and quote you as the example. But if you do good habits, they may or may not take it. But if you yourself don't do, no chance that they will take it. Right? So then he said, okay, I will try. Of course, I don't know, God knows whether he tried or not. I don't believe he did. He just heard and went. So, now, how does one increase the probability, if anyone is thinking of taking Grihastha Ashram, how does one increase the probability of being a father or mother such that the chances that the siblings will become devotees is increased and the chances that the siblings will run away from Krishna consciousness is minimized? At various levels one can do it. One can be proactive or one can be reactive in one's approach. So, the most proactive step starts even before conception of the child, which is called as Garbhadhan Samskara. That is the most proactive approach one can take. Become very fixed up devotees even before entering the Grihastha Ashram. So Prabhupada says 25 years of Brahmachari, and then one enters Grihastha Ashram, one is relatively fixed. Better than entering Grihastha Ashram through a college romance. Many of us entered like that. Okay. So there was no idea of Krishna consciousness, right? So the most proactive step is Garbhadhan Samskara, because when we do that, there is a high probability that a good soul, a devotee soul who has not completed the journey in spiritual life is ushered into the womb of the mother. That's the most proactive. If one has not done that for whatever reasons, then the next level at least is to hear Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita during pregnancy. Okay, we have not done Garbhodhan Samskara, but at least the child is in the womb, like the Kaya who heard and Narad Muni became, like that. Now Narad Muni was speaking and Prahlad Maharaj became devotee. That is the next level of proactivity that one can do. Now, if that also cannot be done, we could not hear during our, the lady cannot hear during pregnancy, the husband could not speak Krishna Katha to the child, through his wife's ears, like that. Then the next level is Kaumaram Acharyatvam. At least give Krishna consciousness after the child is born, as early as possible in childhood. Bring them to the temple. Make them participate in, what is that, 24-hour kirtan, fancy dress competition, loka, whatever, all those things. Do whatever and try to see that somehow or the other the children are in hearing something, some Sanskrit comes out of their mouth, like that, lips. Then give Krishna consciousness from an early stage. If we cannot even do that, if we have failed that also, then at least we become devotee as soon as possible, we become fixed in our sadhana. So that the child, before they become adult, they have seen the parents practicing Krishna consciousness. And then, at least, we may have been instrumental to them in their formative years. Because after, once teenage comes, you don't know which direction, which disha one will go. Anywhere it can go. It's like the snooker table. You hit that one ball, tap. It can go hit one ball there in that pocket, one in that pocket, one will go straight somewhere. We don't know what will happen after that. So, we can only do our duty. So parents can only inspire and facilitate the children. We can never force children. We cannot force anybody in this world to take Krishna consciousness. And there are many small steps which we can take. Appreciation is one very important aspect on appreciating the child. One day, one Mataji was complaining to me. He said, Prabhuji, kuch boliye na. I said, what happened? Kisko bolo? Who tell something, no, Prabhu, to my children. No, what to tell? Prabhuji, what, Prabhuji? They come and then they come into the temple. They just run inside to the temple and like that. They pay obeisance to Prabhupada, like that. They are in a rush and then they go out and play in the courtyard. Then I said, this is very nice. I said, Prabhuji, what you are telling, Prabhu? Don't say like that. You chastise them, no? They don't even know what dress, you know, the deities are wearing. I said, if I ask you randomly any day when you have taken darshan, will you be able to tell me? Sometimes I also don't see. No. I said, then what? You can't follow the standard yourself. You are trying to put it on the children. Yet another was saying, my son is now married, you know, Prabhuji. You know, before marriage he was chanting nicely. After marriage, now when I ask, he says that he is doing 2 rounds only. Prabhuji, somehow you tell him, no, that, you know, he should chant 16 rounds daily. I said, after marriage, he is chanting 2 rounds. Did he marry devotee? No, he married non-devotee. He is chanting 2 rounds, no. He was anyway not chanting 16 even before marriage. Right? At least he is chanting. Have you at least, you know, glorified him for that? He said, no, you know, always I am telling him, why don't you do 16? Why don't you do 16? So he said, if you keep doing that, you are never going to go to 16. Right? So I was told once, when was the time when you felt inspired to do something? When you are made bad, when you are made to feel bad about yourself for not doing something, or when you are glorified for whatever efforts you are putting, however minuscule they are, and then gradually goaded to improve? I said the latter. Then he said, what makes you feel that? For others, the formula is different then. Like that. Okay, so therefore, we can only inspire and facilitate. Okay. Now, as the specifically for teenage years, you know, if it's a boy, then the father has a big responsibility. If it's a girl, then the mother has a responsibility. And there is a boy and a girl, then both parents have responsibility. The father has to be a trusted friend to the child, and the mother has to be a like a sakhi to the daughter. That is how through teenage years they can go through. By our condescending approach. Like that, if you sit at home, then one day what will happen? Children will rebel somehow. They will find some way because their mind is telling them rebel. So and rebel to who? Rebel to authority. So the more and more we come from authority, they are not rebelling against father. They are rebelling against the concept of authority. And that is the whole hippie concept was that only, you know, rebelling against authority. So when Prabhupada went, he didn't address them from a point of view of authority. He was an authority. But he gave them that, what is the purpose? Bullets, Prabhupada's bullets, you know, Iskon bullets. So like that, God. Okay. So, or sometimes what will happen? We may have done everything right. All tick. Karbotham samskara tick. Kayadu tick. Everything tick. Everything tick. But still children become go astray. Why? Because what will happen? Suddenly what happens if our children are like that? Very good examples to the community. Then what happens? The way we come to the temple also may change. Right? Some nice chadar will be there like that. Pakka devotee. Yeah, family, what family Prabhu? All devotees, first class. And then, you know, then we may start giving blessings to others. Right? So therefore Krishna has a way of giving chavi nicely. Wherever the pride comes in, tap! No, one hit. No, like that. So therefore, you know, at all points in time, Krishna knows how to keep even the parents in check. So sometimes it may happen that child is moved out just to keep the parents humble. That may also happen. So father and mother, then there is a big responsibility. His Holiness Sadhana Swami Maharaj once mentioned that your children are like your deities. As much as you take care of your deities, you must take care of your children, because they have been left under your care. So sometimes what happens, one adopts brahmacharya. See, we all have been told to adopt the principles of brahmacharya. When we take grahastha, we become grahastha brahmacharya. There is no doubt about that. The principles of brahmacharya stand valid, you know, in grahastha life also. But we cannot live the life of a brahmacharya in grahastha. Many grahasthas do this mistake of living like a brahmacharya after marriage in grahastha. It is our duty to provide food, to provide education, shelter to our family. We cannot say, that I will just be like a Babaji and then, you know, I will not take any responsibility even for bringing finances into the house. And then the wife has to work, or, you know, somebody else has to work and slog. This is not a grihastha life. This is good. I mean, in one sense, focusing on Krishna consciousness is good, but we have to do our duty because of ashrama we have chosen. Nobody forced us to take grihastha ashrama. The question itself, if someone asks, Prabhuji, I was just thinking, should I take brahmachari or grihastha ashrama? The moment this question comes, means it's grihastha ashrama. Right? So, therefore, we chose grihastha ashrama. Nobody forced us to take grihastha ashrama. So, therefore, the most important principle we have to understand is to give inspirational leadership and not to be, you know, condescending. And Prabhupada says, even after you do all this, okay, perfectly, even if you are not proud, okay, even if you have been humble, but still the child is not devoted or gone away from Krishna consciousness, then Prabhupada says that please understand that every devotee has to fly his own plane. Karmane vadhikaraste ma phaleshu kadachana. You can only do your duty. At some point in time, then you have to raise both your hands and then say Hare Krishna. Draupadi also, she looked at everyone. She looked at Bhishma Pita. Can you save me? Can you save me? Whoever she depended on, nothing saved. All techniques of holding the sari like this, nothing saved. Her own strength did not save. The strength of all her husbands did not save her. Then she just left it to the Lord. Then after that time, sometime, then what we can do? We cannot do anything actually. And maybe that is what Lord Krishna wants also. He wants you to raise both your hands and depend on Him, so that you don't think that I am a successful parent, I have groomed my children. And don't accept the compliments also when they are given. Either way, don't accept the brick, but don't feel guilty also about it, but don't feel very proud also about it. Just take it as if that is the design of the Lord and keep continuing to do your best. Husband, the third role, husband. Do not become a husband if you cannot deliver. So, especially this happens when the wife is not favorable. Right, to Krishna consciousness, where the husband is. So, if the husband does not do the core role of a husband properly, it's very unlikely that the wife will become devotee. Especially when, you know, sometimes what happens, it's not nowadays very easy for a lady to get a Vaishnava husband. And we have seen there's a lot of, you know, difficulty in the congregation. But we have to start very early if someone wants to enter grihastha ashrama. Too late means choices are less. Okay, age is catching up. And another thing is that the horoscopes do not match. Everything else is there still. So, and it is not that devotee-devotee marriage means it's a recipe for success. No, that's the biggest myth, you know, it's not like that. Higher probability is there because value systems are there. But then two false egos also have to match, because it's not two pure devotees marrying. It's two Kanishta Adhikaris may be marrying, two Madhyamas may be marrying. So, therefore, it's not that devotee-devotee marriage means, oh, everything will be Vaikuntha and, you know, it's like, you know, Kardama Muni and, you know, whatever. Deva Huti, you know, it's not like that. Or Ramachandra and Sita. Marriages may not be like that. It's not as easy. It's Kali Yuga we are in right now. So therefore, we cannot take for granted. We have to do, the husband has to do the duties as a husband. And similarly with the wife also. So most principles are the same in married life, husband treating wife, as we treat our children. Providing shelter, protection, giving love and affection. And never giving an impression that our sadhana is coming in the way of material responsibilities. I did not say our sadhana should be kept aside. I said don't give an impression to the wife that because of my sadhana, you know, she is coming in the way of my sadhana, Prabhuji. If that happens, then what will the spouse feel? The spouse will say, it is this Krishna consciousness only which is taking you away from me. Therefore, I hate Krishna. That is what will happen. So, we don't give an impression that our Krishna consciousness practices are coming in the way of our loving relationships. So we have to be very carefully guard our Krishna consciousness and give a lot of love and affection so that the wife starts feeling that because he is Krishna conscious, he is a good husband. Almost like that. So she becomes favorable to the Lord. So it is, and then there are other so many principles that are given. Handle situations with tact. Whenever you have a doubt, seek guidance on implementation of certain principles. Okay. Do not implement rules fanatically. Newly married couple, no? The wife is not devotee. Husband is saying, we will unite only for the purpose of procreation. You know, suddenly if they start saying, yes, it's a good rule, it must be followed. Can everyone follow that? Okay. And what if the wife is not devotee? Okay. We have had people come and then discuss these issues. Okay. Saying that the husband is implementing fanatically, I don't want to be in this marriage. like that. And then the marriage itself comes to a thing. I'm not saying that frivolous sex should be done. Obviously, nobody is saying that. We all know the principles. But then seek higher guidance on how to implement it in life. It has to be implemented. But it has to be implemented under guidance. If you just take a sentence and try to apply it fanatically and with dominating, showing your newfound Krishna consciousness purity, eventually you may find that even you may implement that, but no, lust may not have gone out of the heart. Eventually it may be possible the husband is only following with his wife, but outside he is having another relationship and telling wife that it must be only for procreation, right? So all kinds of things happen. We have heard of all kinds of these issues that come, right? So therefore, seek guidance in implementing. But the general guideline is the husband must be Teji Amsam, the spiritual leader in the house. If the husband is a spiritual leader in the house, generally, you know, it will happen. And spiritual leader means not forcing. Spiritual leader, such that by the husband's leadership, you know, then everyone else is inspired. The wife is inspired to accept the husband as a husband. The child is inspired to accept the husband as a father. The daughter is inspired. So like that, inspirational leadership. One sure shot way that every husband, this is maybe some experience of so many devotees, including myself, is that relationship with wife, if one has to improve, there is no better way than serving your in-laws very nicely. Easily the relationship comes after that. So if a husband does not think of in-laws as her parents, but thinks of in-laws as his own parents, and gives them the same respect and love, and takes care of them, then that marriage has a very high chance of success. Many times we see that the husband is not able to accept the wife, and the wife is not able to accept the husband, though being good devotees is because each is not respecting the other's family. Okay. So there are many principles. Okay. And why am I saying all these things in this context is because when this is not done in the house, what will happen? The relationship between husband and wife is only of a cat and a dog, always fighting with each other. And when the children are seeing this, and then they still see dhoti, tilak, etc., they are saying, what is this? No. Which means this Krishna conscious movement, I don't have much faith, because it did not seem to impact my parents' behavior very much. And then, that is the greatest way we can put off our children from Krishna consciousness. Therefore, it behooves us that it is our responsibility. We have to take spiritual leadership and then set a good example. Do not become a demigod. Last point. Of course, I don't believe anyone of us has this, you know, goal or problem. But we can take the essential principle behind it. Which means what? Do not try to become a controller. Don't develop the controlling mentality. Because that's what in one sense says. Do not become a demigod in one sense. Demigods are glorious, no doubt about it. Okay? But do not try to become a controller. In the long term, people are only influenced by genuine love, affection and service. When we do that, we command respect through our inspirational leadership. Not through condescending attitude or upadis or coming from positions. Okay? Don't you know I am this person? No. Therefore you have to do. No. It will not work for a long time. So essentially when we deep dive on, and to conclude, to deep dive on Rishabhadev's teaching, it will inevitably point to us becoming good, sincere devotees. Okay. A good example of is when we are happy, fulfilled devotees in Krishna consciousness that others see and want to accept this movement. Just two more minutes I will go, because today is the auspicious day, the disappearance day of two personalities. Just for 2 minutes, I want to just speak on them. First is Bhugarbha Goswami. Now it is said, do not become a spiritual master unless you can deliver the world. So we can see two spiritual masters who have exemplified spiritual mastership. Bhugarbha Goswami. So it is said that he was amongst the stalwart devotees in the lineage of Lord Chaitanya. He and Lokanath Goswami, the spiritual master of Narottam Das Thakur, they were very, very close. It was said that they were like one body. Two souls living in one body. So close they were. So one soul living in two bodies, whatever you call. Okay. So very little is known about Bhugarbha Goswami, but certain important things are that it was his closeness with Lokanath Goswami. And he was a disciple of Gadadhar Pandit. In fact, he is considered as the 11th branch in the discipleship of Gadadhar Pandit. And he himself had a lot of stalwart disciples. Example is Govinda Dev's Pujari, Chaitanya Das, was his devotee, Bhugarbha Goswami's, his disciple. Bhugarbha Goswami resided in Vrindavan for most part of his life. In the Gaur Ganodesha Deepika, Kavi Karanapur mentions that Bhugarbha Goswami is none other than Prema Manjari in Krishna Leela. So, on the 14th day of the full moon of the Kartik month, he entered into the unmanifest pastimes of the Lord. His Samadhi Mandir is in Vrindavan. The second personality is Kashir, His Holiness Kashishwar Pandit. Kashishwar Pandit was a disciple of Ishwar Puri. And Kashishwar Pandit was, in one sense, God brother of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he was sent to Jagannath Puri by Ishwara Puri specifically to serve his senior, his exalted God brother, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in that sense. Okay. It is said that in Ganodesha Padipika, it is mentioned that Kashishwar Pandit is none other than Sashi Rekha Sakhi in Krishna Leela. And what is Shashi Rekha Sakhi's eternal pastime, the eternal service? It is to bring water from the Yamuna for Lord Krishna's service. So that is Shashi Rekha Sakhi's service. And that Shashi Rekha, when she came in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, in his Leela, he came as Kashishwar Pandit. It is mentioned that Kashishwar Pandit was very powerful and strongly built. So what was his seva? He used to walk before Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Whether it was Rath cart or whether there was anywhere else that Mahaprabhu was going, he used to walk in front, keeping the Lord away. So crowd control was his biggest service. Keeping the Lord away so that people do not contact Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's verse directly. So it is said that whenever the Rath Yatra is to happen in Jagannath Puri, the inner ring where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing, the innermost ring was Lord Chaitanya and the intimate devotees. The next middle level ring was Kashishwar Pandit and all these people who will protect Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And outside ring was Maharaja Prataparudra and all his bodyguards. So that was how the three rings were formed. So he was in the second, in the middle ring was Kashishwar Pandit. Not only would he do crowd control, but after that he would also serve prasadam to all the devotees. That is very important, because in crowd control, sometimes you have to adopt a kshatriya hat. Prabhuji, you have to say. But after that, Prabhuji, like that. Okay, so do both. Serve that disciple specifically on whom you have implemented crowd control. Prabhuji, sorry, huh, Prabhuji, I had to do my duty. Prabhuji, please take more picture. So that they can, you know, pardon. So we establish that relationship. We say that I was doing there also a service, so please pardon me, but now I am happy to serve you prasadam, like that. So he did both this, like that. So he would serve prasadam. Now, when Rupa Goswami discovered the vigraha of Govinda Devs, then what happened? Rupa Goswami immediately informed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that, you know, Govinda Dev, you know, vigraha I have found. So what Mahaprabhu said, Mahaprabhu gave him an instruction that you immediately hand over this vigraha to Kashishwar Pandit to worship. He will worship this vigraha of Govinda Dev in Vrindavan. And he immediately looked at Kashishwar Pandit and said, Kashishwara, now you have to go to Vrindavan. And Kashishwar Pandit was crestfallen. He said, Mahaprabhu, how can I, please don't give me this instruction, how can I leave you and be separate from you? Therefore Mahaprabhu said, don't worry. And then on the spot, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested a self-manifested vigraha and said, now I am eating, so this vigraha will also eat. He showed that, he demonstrated that, and then Kashishwar Pandit was very happy. So he took the vigraha of that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and then went to Vrindavan, and along with Govinda Dev, that vigraha is also being worshipped. Okay, so that is the glory of Kashishwar Pandit. He was present in most of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, many leelas of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu he was present, be it the dancing, Hari Sankirtan which happened outside Shriva Sangha, or whenever accompanying Chaitanya Mahaprabhu whenever he used to go for a bath in the Ganges, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's sweet pastime with Kolavecha Sridhar, where he drank from that pot, there also Kashishwar Pandit was there, you know, witnessing all those pastimes. So today is his disappearance day. So Bhugarbha Goswami and Kashishwar Pandit disappearance day. So today we will humbly offer our obeisances to these glorious spiritual masters, who are genuine spiritual masters, who led the world in Krishna consciousness. We will pray to them that our Krishna Bhakti, our services to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, and our services to Srila Prabhupada's movement in ISKCON may improve. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Bhugarbha Goswami Mahashay ki jaya. Kashishwar Pandit Mahashay ki jaya. Samaveda Bhaktavrinda ki jaya. Gantrar Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya. Jaya Nitya Gaur Premanandi.